ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Text Number 13. Nanarasvagatim kangshen Narakim vabhikarshana Neman lokam chakangsheta Word for translation. Na,
na.
Never.
Never.
Naraha,
Naraha.
A human being.
Being.
Swagatim,
Swagatim.
Promotion to heaven.
Promotion.
Gangshet, should desire. Narakim, to hell. Va, or. Vichakshana, a learned person. Na, nor. Imam,
this.
Lokam,
earth planet.
Cha,
also.
Kangsheta,
one should desire.
Deha,
in the material body.
Avesha,
from absorption.
Ramajati,
one becomes a fool.
Translation. A human being who is wise should never desire promotion to heavenly planets or residence in hell. Indeed, a human being should also never desire permanent residence on the earth, for by such absorption in the material body, one becomes foolishly negligent of one's actual self-interest. Purport. One who has achieved human life on the earth has an excellent opportunity to attain spiritual liberation through Krishna consciousness or devotional service to the Lord. Thus, one should not desire promotion to heaven or risk residence in hell. Where excessive enjoyment or punishment deviate one's mind from self-realization. On the other hand, one should not think, the earth is so nice, I can stay here forever. One should develop through detachment from all aspects of categories of material existence and go back home, back to Godhead, where life is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. Lord Krishna now begins to develop his conclusive proof that actual human progress lies beyond material piety and sin. The Lord first clarified that there are basically three methods of human elevation, namely jnana, karma, and bhakti, and that the goal is transcendental knowledge and ultimately love of God, love of Godhead. Now the Lord explains that promotion to heavenly planets, the final goal of piety, as well as residence in hell, the results of sinful activities, are both useless in fulfilling the actual purpose of life. Neither material piety nor sin establish the eternal living entity in his constitutional position. Therefore, something more is required to achieve the actual perfection of life. Om Agyana Timurandasya Agyanandana Salakaya Chakshum Nitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Kurve Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Shrimati Devamita Swamiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachamani. Shrisha Srinivasa Vasudhara Sitarani. Hare Krishna. So, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, pure devotional service, Lord Krishna in the previous chapter has been describing karma yoga. So, in the previous text and also in the previous chapters, Krishna has been speaking to Uddhava about how he gradually elevates different categories or different classes of living entities on the yoga ladder from karma, jnana, and gradually to the platform of devotional service, or in this case, pure devotional service. So Krishna has given example, then now Krishna here is stating that looking at the results of piety, looking at the results of sin, that one shouldn't strive for these perfections, or one shouldn't strive for these yoga systems, because they ultimately just bring one back to the cycle of repeated birth and death. So Jayadev Goswami gives an analogy, an example of how by striving for material progress, by striving for material sense gratification, is like a mirage in the desert, that actually it won't give us ultimate satisfaction. The illusion of thinking that there's water in front of us will not actually quench our thirst, as we realize that no matter how hard we're striving for that happiness, we're not going to get it by the means of a material mind, material consciousness, and material activities. So here Krishna is giving his system about how he gradually elevates people from the lowest grades of existence up to the highest point of having our eternal constitution revealed to us by the means of devotional service. So if you look at material piety, it awards so many things that might be very glamorous, that might be very comforting for our body, might be very comforting for our mind, might be very comforting for our intelligence. And in that way, we decide to make this endeavor to actually stay in this material existence, because everything is provided so nicely on the temporary platform. But as we know, after some time, matter means there's the beginning, the middle, and an end. So after some time, all these things are going to diminish, and our happiness will also diminish. And of course, our source of happiness in material consciousness is just the sudden decline of suffering. So when we're not really suffering, we consider that to be happiness on a material level. But all material activities ultimately lead one to suffering. So our material activities, of course, are pushed and persuaded by the modes of passion and ignorance. It's very rare to find someone on the mode of goodness, someone who's pushed by the urges of the body, by the urges of the tongue, the mind, the belly, the genitals. It's very rare to find that in this material existence. So this material piety, we may find in the world today that we have so many people who are manufacturing different ways of expressing their pious activities. We have so many isms, we have so many humanitarian organizations which are to some degree very beneficial and very helpful to some extent, but ultimately they're not giving one the ultimate goal of life. So we have, throughout world history, we can see how we've tried each and every single kind of non-profit organization, we've tried each and every kind of political system, we've tried different social systems, you know, different waves of presenting music, different ways of presenting art, different ways of doing everything. But even with that, all that variety, it has not produced anything that will make the living entity happy or satisfied in the existence. So we really tried everything. There isn't anything anyone hasn't tried. And all we're doing is now is we're just repeating what has already been tried and what has already been rejected. So we're still repeating that as a means of showing our rebellious act towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're being rebellious towards Krishna because we're manufacturing our own systems and avoiding the system that he himself has given. So there's one, yesterday I was reading with a friend in the ashram, and she read something to me that struck me very much. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, in the third canto, the discussion between Maitreya Rishi and Mahatma Vidura, Srila Prabhupada was commenting in the fifth chapter of the third text. He was saying that actually the living entity has nothing to do but to render devotional service to the Lord. Anything else is just a rebellious act. So if we're not really performing devotional service, we're just being the ultimate rebels in Kali Yuga. Because whatever we're doing is not going to produce activities that will aid our extrication from material suffering. So because of our nature of being the marginal potency, our nature of either being for Krishna or averse to Krishna lands us in this position birth after birth. So we're going on and on, one birth after the other, trying to be rebellious, trying to manufacture our own systems, trying to be super pious, but it's not going to take us out of material suffering, sinful activities. And of course, our goal in devotional service, this pure bhakti that we're striving for, is very rarely attained, as Krishna is describing in Bhagavad Gita. And as Bhakti Saraprabhu was explaining yesterday, why Krishna doesn't just throw it out, he doesn't just yank it out, because you can actually control the Supreme Person by your devotional service. Just as we can see with the pastimes of Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan, you know, Krishna is completely controlled by their love and by their affection, and that is the highest point in the Absolute Truth. This Madhurya Ras that has been properly explained, beginning with Srila Madhavendra Puri and all the other acharyas, this is the height of devotional service, pure bhakti. But this pure love of God, which is quite, for me, for myself, it's still quite a bewildering fact that is already existing within the heart of each individual, in the heart of every living entity. We do have that pure devotional attitude towards Krishna, but it's just in its hard form. It's in its impersonal form, because we've chosen to be impersonal from Krishna. So in the Madhya Lila, there's this text that reads, Nitya Sira Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunaya Shravanari Shurachite Garaya Udaya. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, the living entity naturally awakens. So basically, as I'm saying, this devotional service, this pure devotional service, is already existing in the heart of each and every person in this room, but it's something that we actually have to ignite. It's something that we have to reawaken, and the process is given by, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, the nine processes of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, you know, hearing and chanting, as the translation saying about the glorious acts and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. And these are the ways that we can actually revive this pure bhakti that's already existing within the heart. And this is, it's not something that is too far out for us to actually attain or grasp. But sometimes you might be reading, it's happened to me before, I'm reading something and it's, you know, you're reading how, about the process of devotional service and the different stages that we're, of purification that we're supposed to go through, and sometimes it looks like I'm just not going to make it because I'm so envious, I'm so sinful, and I don't, yeah. So we start analyzing ourselves, then we see I'm not a pure devotee, and I'm not seeing these qualities manifest yet. So sometimes when we're still young, we might get a bit discouraged from the path and think, I'm not going to make it. But you know, in the Nectar of Devotion, it's explaining the progressive march of the living entity from the beginning points of having faith in the process through the association of devotees and then accepting the spiritual master and practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti under his guidance. By gradually following in that manner, we can actually attain to that point without having to worry about, oh, do I have taste? Am I fixed in my devotional service? Am I ecstatic? Am I enthusiastic? Without having to focus too much on these individual characteristics of pure devotional service, but by actually following the instruction of the spiritual master, by taking the association of that pure devotee, we actually learn to gradually execute these principles in a normal, in a natural manner. So this ecstatic love that we all want, this ecstatic love to Krishna, is born of the execution of regulated devotional service. This is something that is discussed in the lecture of devotion. That the ecstatic love of God, pure bhakti, is already there, but we have to make it fully blossom and ripen by the practice of the execution of the regulative principles of devotional service. So, another point, how this, by performing these activities, that we're actually acting in our best self-interest, that we're not only, by performing devotional service, we're not only benefiting ourselves, but we're actually benefiting so many other people, from our family to our, community, to our friends. They also get purified from our practice of devotional service. But the highest point, of course, we're always, Srila Prabhupada always stressed that we should strive for the highest form of bhakti. We shouldn't just strive to be 50% pure or 60% pure. Srila Prabhupada always wanted us to take the topmost example, and of course that is the example given through the pastimes of Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And how the gopis, they are the highest devotees exhibiting this pure love of God. But at the same time, because they are eternally liberated souls, whereas we have our tendency to forget Krishna. And there's a lecture once, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was explaining, because a lot of devotees would ask, how does the living entity fall down from the spiritual world? Aren't we eternally fixed on Krishna? How can we divert our attention from Krishna? How is it possible? And then he gave this very nice example, which I think and meditate on all the time in the morning. He said, when it's greetings, and you're walking into the temple room, and the prayers are going, Govinda Mari Purusham, and then someone enters or someone rings the bell, and then we turn and have a look. So for that split second, Tamal Krishna Maharaj is explaining, that is how we actually left Krishna. So that minor inattention of us, Krishna is right there, Jagannath is there, Gauri Nitai is there, and then something just happens, and yes, Krishna, you're so beautiful, look at your flute, and then someone comes in, and then we just divert our attention to them for like 5 seconds, and then we go back to Krishna, and then someone is offering dandavat in front of you, we look at them, and what are you wearing, you tied your dhoti nicely, or your sari, and then again we look at Krishna, and then we're not fully absorbed in the form of the Lord. So that slight inattention is what caused us to actually, move on and let me be the center of attraction. Because my mind is not absorbed in the beautiful body and form of the Lord. It gets distracted by other things and by other means. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj is explaining, this is how, we actually leave Krishna, our inattention towards Him and pleasing His senses. He is Rishikesh. We're not Rishikesh. We're meant to please His senses. So this slight inattention when we're trying to practice devotional service, we should catch ourselves. This is how I try and get myself just to meditate on the deity, at least for those few minutes during greetings, that I'm not looking around somewhere and I'm not being agitated. I just try and fix my consciousness on seeing the form of the Lord, which is purifying for us. So for us, we're not like the gopis of Vrindavan or Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, who are always constantly 24/7 thinking of Krishna. We're still not at that level, so we need certain things around us, certain programs to help us get to that platform. And Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's this beautiful verse which I was reading the other day. I'd actually forgotten which chapter it was in, so I had to, for the past week or so, I was going through the Bhagavad Gita, because I could only remember one line from the verse. So it's in the chapter explaining Krishna's opulence. So it's one of the seed shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita. Machit matgat prana bodhyantas parasparam katyantas chamamnityam tasanticha ramanticha. So this is Krishna trying to hint to us how we can actually, in a very steadfast manner get to think of Him 24/7. How we can gradually learn to absorb ourselves in thinking about Him and His activities. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So here we can see the different qualities of that pure devotee who is performing pure devotional service. That they're not only thinking about themselves, that they're actually also giving Krishna to others. So we're not sitting in our cave somewhere, we're not doing our bhajan independently and forgetting about everything that's around us. And Lord Chaitanya himself, Lord Nityananda, the entire, you know, our Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Panchatattva, they were engaged in preaching activities, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They wrote so many books, they gave us so many helpful hints and methods to always engage in devotional service. But this verse is so powerful because we get to understand what we look for in devotee association, that we want the kind of association that we get together and we're talking about Krishna, we're helping one another remember Krishna. So it's not all, you know, what Srila Rupa Goswami is explaining in the Natural Instruction, Atyahara Prayasascha Prajalpan Yamagraha. We're not just croaking away like frogs and wasting our breath and wasting our time, that we're seeking out the association of the pure devotee and hearing from them about Krishna. And it's that pure devotee who actually, you know, will fan that inclination to serve Krishna. It's that devotee who will actually bring about the desire to hear topics about Krishna. So in this verse is speaking about, you know, how we shouldn't desire, you know, heavenly planets, how we shouldn't desire to be comfortable in this material world, no matter how pious we may be, how much beauty we have, or intelligence, or we're very giving and compassionate, and all the nice qualities. But we still shouldn't strive for that, because Krishna, while you practice devotional service, Krishna awards all these qualities, all these traits that we're looking for. Krishna gives them. We don't have to make a separate endeavor. Just like the yogi is striving for renunciation and control of the mind and performing austerities, we don't have to individually perform these activities. No, while in the process of devotional service, all that is included. So we don't have to make a strenuous endeavor to try and get all these different qualities. Krishna has arranged it in that way, that you perform devotional service, everything is taken care of. So this association of pure devotees is a way in which for us our desire to hear about Krishna grows, and our desire to remain comfortable in this material world, our desire to enjoy heavenly pleasures, you know, they diminish. So it's from the association of devotees that we can actually grow in devotional service. We can get all these books, we can stay at home by ourselves and just read by ourselves, and we can have kirtan by ourselves in the morning, and have our own guru puja, you know, dance and play kartals by ourselves. We can celebrate Janmashtami by ourselves in our room. You know, we can do everything by ourselves, but you see the difference when you're with the devotees. How much devotees give us that enthusiasm, how much devotees give us that motivation, and that we actually feed off one another. So if we see a devotee, you know, is very enthusiastic, it's very attractive, I also want to be like that. Let me take association with that devotee. We see a devotee who's absorbed in studying the shastra or distributing books or distributing prasadam, you take their association, and we can also develop that desire. But it's already there. We're naturally compassionate, we're naturally giving, we naturally want to serve because we are eternal servants of Krishna. And Krishna sends his parts and parcels so that we can get into shape of learning to serve. Because if we cannot serve others while we're still practicing Vaidhi Sadhana, how are we going to serve Krishna and his associates and the spiritual master when we get to the spiritual world? Because we're doing the same things we're doing. We're hearing about Krishna. We're preparing foodstuffs for Krishna. We're we're associating with one another, and the basis of our association should be Krishna. That is what we should be striving for. So we have this human body, which by some classes in society or some schools of spirituality, you know, look down upon the material body. And, you know, it's just... And sometimes we can also, in our fanatical stages, we can also get into this mode of operating, oh, the material body is just like, you know, blood, pus, bile, mucus, you know, that's just all the material body is. If Maya, you know, you shouldn't even put cream on your body, you know, just don't take care of your body because it's all Maya. We can get into this mode. But if you really understand the purpose of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada gives us the detailed description of what attachment to the body does. There's nothing wrong with the body. But if we're attached to the body, then, you know, we're going to have to come back and take more bodies because we love the body so much. So Prabhupada gives us all these detailed descriptions of how we shouldn't become attached to the body, because everything within the body is all temporary and it's not so nice, because I'm sure we all have the experience that the body gives pain, you know, our gross and subtle body. It gives us pain. The attachment always gives us, you know, grief and anxiety. Our mind torments us all the time. Just this morning I was having a conversation with my mind around 4 o'clock, and I was thinking, oh, should I get up? But I'm tired. I came back late last night after Harinam. And I was like, yeah, you deserve to sleep in. And I'm like, no, when are you going to chant Hare Krishna? The best time is to do it in the morning. And then the mind was saying, no, but you're tired, you should take care of yourself. And I was like, and at the end of it, I was like, I just got up. And I was like, this is just a waste of my time. So the mind can trick us and torment us all the time. Do this, do this, do that. But if we're properly situated, if we understand, you know, actually what is best for my practice of devotional service, then I execute that. And what is not best, and then I do not execute those activities. So pure bhakti, it's not dependent on any kind of austerity. It's not dependent on any kind of yogic or mysticism. You know, pure bhakti just depends on sincerity of the heart. How sincere are we to actually achieve Krishna? So we don't have to be, you know, erudite scholars or, you know, the topmost Sankirtan leader. You know, we don't have to be the grandest of everything. Sure, we strive for, you know, performing devotional service with, you know, sensitivity towards Krishna, doing things nicely for the pleasure of Krishna, but not, you know, trying to master each and every rule and regulation. You know, your 4 obeisances, your head should be like this, and your arms should be flat, and your fingers should be spread out, and then you get up, you turn, you have to look at the deity, you don't have to look around, just, you know, we don't have to be so rigid. Because yoga practices and mysticism, they do help us get detached from material existence and give us some kind of liberation, but they make the heart harder, they make the heart hard. That is the problem of too much austerity and renunciation. It makes our heart extremely hard. And the goal for us in Bhakti Yoga, we're trying to have a soft heart. We're trying to melt our heart so that we can receive Krishna, so that Krishna can reside in our heart. So the only qualification that we should desire, that we should strive for, is just to become sincere seekers of Krishna. Just sincerely want to serve Krishna. And then He will reciprocate. He will act in such a way that He organizes the environment. He organizes so many things which are conducive for our devotional service. And we cannot, you know, petition Krishna to do it immediately. We can't petition Krishna to do it now or never. It's like, okay, Krishna, if you're not going to, you know, give me permanent residency, you know, in Australia, that's it. I'm not gonna come to the temple. I'm not gonna do it. Or, you know, if you don't do it, I'm gonna be a permanent resident in this material world. You know, you make the choice. You know, because, you know, Krishna, you know, He has other things going on. Krishna has millions and millions of servants. So we should understand that, you know, we're at the end of the day, we're just insignificant little jivas trying to serve Krishna via the medium of the spiritual master. You cannot demand Krishna, okay, Krishna, I'm still full of impurities, number one. You know, I just got out of the whole thing of Kali Yuga, and my false ego is still the size of the entire Melbourne community, but I want you to do this for me now. And Krishna would just think, what is wrong with this jiva? Haven't they understood that you have to qualify yourself first before you start demanding? You start chanting Hare Krishna, develop some faith, come in the association of devotees, and then I take over your life. And that's how Krishna takes over. You take to his process, Krishna says, all right, you're mine. Now you've come and said, okay, Krishna, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, I'm going to follow your process. Krishna says, okay, get ready, because it's going to be a fun ride. And we shouldn't think that, you know, the path of bhakti is just going to be, you know, gardenias and like petals and like gems, and it's going to be so beautifully laid out and it's just so nice and you'll never have an obstacle and everything will just be perfect. No. I'm sure we've all realized when we signed up, of course, Jai, Jai Prabhupada, you know, was, you know, at the beginning everything is Jai Nectar, Jai Ho. And we're just going at it. And then Krishna says, now I want you to really come back to me, so I'm going to start cleaning your heart. And I'm going to start cleaning this desire to remain attached to your body. And I'm going to start cleaning out this desire to remain attached to this material world. So I'm going to start purifying you. Because you're chanting Hare Krishna, I'm going to clean these impurities. And indeed he does. And sometimes we don't like seeing what's coming out. You know, when you go into an attic, which you haven't been for in like 20 years, on your garage. Back home, you used to like clean out like once a month or something. And, you know, there's just dust everywhere. And the minute you start cleaning, it just comes out. It just, everything starts surfacing. You're like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's this? Oh, what's that? Or is that a living entity? Or is, what is it? So we start chanting Hare Krishna. What happens? All these ugly things start coming out. You know, our lust, our envy, our greed. We start seeing, oh, ooh. And we look at ourselves and we're like, oh, horrible. I have these feelings, oh my God. Oh, I see the world like this, oh my, oh, yeah. We start feeling like this. But all this gunk, all this junk has to come out. Otherwise, Krishna cannot reside in the heart. There's no way Krishna can reside in a dirty place. So if you want to take Krishna back in, as the residents of Vrindavan, the Jagannath, you know, festival, Rath Yatra festival, the gopis are pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. So for us, we're trying to pull Krishna back into our heart. But first, the heart has to be purified and it has to be clean. So we cannot, in our pride or in our false ego, think that Krishna, you know, is automatically going to come if we're not qualified, if we don't have a clean heart, if we don't have clean habits. That's a sort of pride, actually, to think that I can do something without qualification. I'm so great. I'm one of the minute jivas in this entire cosmos, but I'm the greatest. That is false pride. That is big ahankar, false ego. So we should sincerely just try to act in such a way that we attract the mercy of Krishna. And the best way to attract Krishna, under any circumstance, if we want Krishna to really take notice of us, is if we take shelter of his process and we serve his devotees. Service to devotees, you know, this is one of the most important aspects of this process of bhakti. All other processes, you know, we're by ourselves, you know, we're focused on us and our elevation and everything, but with the community of devotees, you know, we're not only after ourselves, we don't only care about ourselves, but everyone else around us should go back home, back to Godhead. So this is the wonderful way in which Srila Prabhupada was helping us realize, you know, Krishna means Krishna and his parts and parcels. So our compassionate nature comes up the more we preach to each other and the more we preach to others as well to remind them of Krishna. And that they don't have to make a permanent resident in the material world, that we should, you know, we can go back to Krishna and become his permanent resident. You don't have to stay Aussies forever. You don't have to stay Indians forever or Africans forever. You can go back home. So service to the Vaishnavas is such a wonderful act, is such a wonderful opportunity to show Krishna that we actually want to serve him and his parts and parcels. And no other, you know, the prophets of yoga or renunciation or any other yoga system cannot give this feeling in the heart. They just cannot do it. So this is a special, the special item of bhakti, as the last line of the purport said, that there's something else that's required beyond just pious activities. There's something more that will reward us the ultimate goal of life, and that's service to the devotees. And we should always be the well-wisher of all the devotees in the different aspects of life as they move on. We have so many devotees in our community who move on and they move and they go continue with our devotional service elsewhere. So we should pray for their Krishna conscious advancement, that they may continue to serve the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada in that manner. So we should be grateful for the association of devotees, because they are the ones who actually deliver us to Krishna. Devotees purify us. They help us get clean, although we don't like it, but they help us get clean and present us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll stop there. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have a comment or question? Mahatma Prabhu.
Very wonderful lecture. Yes, Lord Prabhupada has given us Kirtaniya Sada, most practical method of attaining Krishna.
Yeah, Kirtan.
And most of the language. Can you repeat that Sanskrit word you were telling me?
What? What's
Gita? Sanskrit part of the course.
Machit magyat prana bodhyantas paraspara kasyantas tumam nityam tasyanti cha ramanti cha, that the devotees are always engaged in hearing thoughts of Krishna, that they enlighten one another and converse with one another about me. So devotees should be always just speaking about Krishna to one another and nothing else. Yes, Gunamani. Nita. No, the super soul is Krishna. So what happens, because Krishna is right here at this point. Krishna is in all of our hearts. But we're so impersonal that we cannot take direct instruction from him. Therefore, we get the spiritual master. But when our heart becomes completely purified, you know, we can access the super soul within the heart. But when we're in the spiritual world, of course, there's no need of the super soul, because we can see Krishna right there. But in the beginning phase of bhakti, where our impersonalism leads us to at least getting the spiritual master, because we cannot perceive Krishna in the heart as the super, he manifests as the spiritual master. So the spiritual master, as explained, is the manifestation of the super soul, because we cannot directly perceive and take instruction from him. So the super soul is just there waiting for us to look at him, but we're still a bit impersonal. So gradually we get purified and elevated, we can gradually then take direct instruction from Krishna in the heart. Explained in the pastime of King Puranjana, there's one verse that explains that the living entity can either take instructions directly or directly from the super soul. And the purport explains that indirectly we take instruction through the spiritual master, because he's an expansion of that super soul. And when we get completely pure, we take instruction directly from the Lord situated in the heart. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhu.
And the second one was you know, the faith, and
Not being so rigid, what I was trying to point out that sometimes we forget the essence of our activities and we just focus on the external rules and regulations. So sometimes we might be doing a service and it requires, you know, some kind of deliberation or quick activity, but then we somehow or the other delay it and, you know, focus too much on the external activity of it. So for example, you know, sometimes you have to, let's say, I don't know, make a garland or go out on book distribution. But then we say, no, wait a minute, I have to do my, you know, take bath, because Prabhupada said we should take bath 3 times a day. Or the scriptures, you know, there's rules and regulations, you should take bath how many times a day, at what time, and then you should say this prayer, and then you have to repeat the Narayan Kavacha prayers, and then you have to do these mudras, and then only after then do you go and perform your service. So sometimes we tend to divert our attention to all these small things and then not really focus on the heart of it, and that is, you know, performing devotional service. I mean, even just waking up in the morning, there's certain, you know, rules that you have to follow. Srila Prabhupada even said, if we were to, like, literally follow each and every advice given in the Vedic literature, we won't even leave the bathroom. So you wake up in the morning, you know, you have to clean your mouth, you have to clean your room, you have to wipe, you know, everything, and then enter the bathroom, and then comb your hand, then wash your hands 10 times, and then gargle your mouth 10 times, and then spit it out, and then only brush your teeth, and then, you know, by the time you do that, class will be over. And we won't be really to get on with the practice of devotional service, which is, you know, hearing and chanting. So sometimes we should, you know, make sure that we're not too rigid in our practice. You know, I have to read 3 hours a day, and then your service is half an hour overdue. Or being too rigid in so many things can actually make us very hard and impersonal towards our dealings with devotees and Krishna. So we should always check with the senior devotees as well. Ask them for advice how to practically apply the process of devotional service. Okay, thank you. Contract Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada.